Okay, so we're going to look at one of the most famous Bible stories this morning. Anybody got a guess what they think it is? He got it. David and Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17. So I looked up top 10 Bible stories on Google search, because you know if it's on the internet, it's got to be right. And everything's got to be true. So, and David and Goliath was right up there with Jesus dying on the cross, Noah's Ark, and Jonah and the whale. So those were some of the four, not favored, but the best well-known stories that were out there. The story of Jesus, David and Goliath, Jonah and the whale, Noah and the Ark. Surprise, they had Samson up there a couple of different times, I guess because of his strength. I didn't think that would be, but a couple of different websites had Samson. So the title of this morning's message is, Are You Facing Your Giant? A lot of things that we come across in our lives, we just don't want to face. And you'll see in the story this morning, the story is that there were seasoned soldiers that were facing a giant, and they were afraid. They said no. And even you go back to the story when the Israelites went to the Promised Land the first time. They got afraid because there were giants there. They didn't want to have to face them. And the only way that you really can truly move forward in your Christian life, and the only way you're going to be able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, is to be able to face those giants, not to be running from them, and not to be fearful of them, but instead to have confidence and faith and trust in a God that can do all things, and a God that you love, and the God that you believe in, and face the giants. So this morning's message is just a thought here. Are you facing your giants? Because I know in my own life, in my own Christian walk, in different times when there are certain things that you don't really feel comfortable doing, you kind of take a step back. And until God wants you to go over that next obstacle, that next hurdle, you're never going to truly advance and be able to do exactly what God wants to accomplish. And I'm not even talking about just sin. I'm talking about any type of obstacle that you have in your life. Now, obviously, if God is speaking to your heart about something and you don't do it, that's disobedience. But I'm saying maybe there's someone you must learn to forgive, or maybe someone you need to ask forgiveness from. Maybe it is a sin in your life that you have just come to a spot and you say, this is all I have to do. I can't do anything else. I just have to live with this. Whatever it is. A couple weeks ago, we talked about that acrostic victory. But there's never any way that we're going to have victory until we're willing to face those things that we're afraid of and face those giants. And the story today, you're going to see three different things: David's willingness to take on the challenge, David's confidence in God, and David's conquest is not kept quiet. But and it's a great passage of scripture. We could spend a month just looking at all the different things, so we don't have time to go through all of it. And I know you're familiar with it. Many of you are familiar with it, and we'll kind of tell you the story of the way it goes. But I would like to look at the end of the story to begin with, and then we'll jump in. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 51. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine. Now the Philistine is the giant Goliath, the one that no one else was willing to face but David. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He says, you're coming to me. The giant has disdained David. He didn't come with armor. He didn't come with a sword. He came with a staff and a slingshot. So he says, look, you're coming with me with all those things, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran. You picture this. He runs and stood upon the Philistine. I can see him standing on top, maybe his chest. And he kind of just pops up there, probably a smaller guy at this time. And he took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes you don't know what to ask for when you pray. But Lord, I'm praying that you would grab everybody's attention this morning. And they would listen to the message that your word has to say. It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to look at other things. And some people don't think the importance of preaching is something that is really that important. But Lord, in your word, you said you've chosen the foolishness of preaching. And you use the preaching of the cross. And God, so I pray that each person today would on purpose ask you even now to speak to their hearts today. And they will do their best to stay attentive. And they will listen to a story that maybe they've heard 100 different times and maybe in 100 different ways. But the powerful truth that's found in it, that there was many who did not want to face that giant. But there was one that was not only willing to stand, but ran to meet the challenge. God, speak to our hearts. Give many of us victory today of taking that next step that we want. And Lord, that next step may look like it's a giant. It may look incredibly huge. It may look as if there's no way we can have victory. But God, help us understand the battle is the Lord's, and you've already won the victory for us. And even though we may not have the size or the shield or the sword like Goliath did, or be as intimidating as that giant is, we've been promised victory. And Lord, that you will give some people hope today and victory over some type of sin that maybe they've struggled with, or the courage to take that next step in their Christian faith. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the word giant means a very great size or force. So when we think about that, giant, you're thinking about an individual. Obviously, in today's message, we're not talking about finding the tallest person you can and taking a crack at him and trying to hit him with a stone. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about facing the obstacle in your life that maybe has been sitting there and looming large for a long time. You'll say, Pastor, I don't got one of those. Well, maybe it's been there for so long, you've gotten used to it, and it's just part of your decor. But many of us have that next step that God wants us to take that we have shied away from many times because of fear or a lack of trust in God. And those connect. Those really do connect. Because, in fact, the reason why we're afraid is because we're not trusting the Lord. So what is it that God wants you to do? And as I mentioned, I'm praying that God will give somebody, if not multiple of us, mercy and help us have victory here. And also not just victory, but the confidence to take that next step as we leave this place. So as you think about this story, let's jump in here. The first thing I want you to see here is David's willingness to take on the challenge. David's willingness to take on the challenge. And the first thing I want you to think about, those who ran. Look what it says in chapter 17, verses 23 and 24. We'll kind of set the stage for you. On one side of the valley, you have up there on the hill all the Israelites. And you can picture them there. They might have armor. They might have swords. They might have shields. So you can see up there, there's a lot of them there. And then you got a valley. And on the other side, you got all these Philistines. They're up there. And they're all there, and they're set in array to battle, meaning that they're getting ready to have a fight. But instead of them fighting like they would normally do, there's one guy that comes from the Philistine side. And that one guy that comes from the Philistine side comes down every day and defies God and defies the armies of the Israelites and says, if you will go and send one man to fight with me, whoever wins, then they will be the rulers or masters of the side that lost. Now, the only difference about the guy coming down the hill, he's huge. He's the giant. He's the one, as you look in verses 23 and 24, that sends people running. Look what it says. And he talked with them. Behold, they're talking about David, talking to those that are in the battle. And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, defying God, defying Israel, defying God, Israel, God, Israel's God. And David, the difference was, and David heard him. Look at the response in verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and was sore and were sore afraid. Now we're also introduced to the character down in verse number 28. It says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, talking about David's eldest brother. Now remember, in less than a month ago, we talked about Eliab. Eliab was the guy that Samuel looked at, and Samuel was so impressed with this guy, probably because of how he looked, his countenance, his height, probably his build. He was a big, strong guy. He says, surely this is going to be the next king. This is the anointed. But he was rejected. He's there. He's on the side of the mountain. He's no little pipsqueak that's up there on the side of the mountain. These are the men of war. These are those sitting on the mountain that's not supposed to be afraid of this giant that's coming down. So consider who it is that's on that mountain. There is a bunch of people that's there who say they represent the nation of Israel, who are there to fight for the nation of Israel. They're sitting on the sideline. They're saying, I do not trust God enough to fight. That giant, that obstacle, it is too big, it is too strong, and I cannot have victory, and the cause is not worth giving my life for. I'd rather sit, not just sit. The giant comes out, and it says, it's interesting, it says to him in verse number 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. So I'm thinking when it says all the men of Israel, it's talking about even their king, Saul, the guy that's head and shoulders above everybody, that no one wants to deal with it. No one wants to deal with the battle, and they don't want to face the giant because it's too intimidating. And I tell you, I truly believe that I've even sat on the side of that mountain before, and I've seen all these different things happening, and there's something looming ahead. And I think that that mountain, figuratively, could be filled with a bunch of church members sitting up there and looking at the cause and looking at what's going on and saying, I'm signed up to fight in this battle. I belong to God. I belong to I'm in the Christian army, but that looks like too great of a challenge. That looks like I'm not going to win. So because of that, I don't think the cause is great enough. And you see them go, and you go back to the Israelites when they're at the Promised Land, and you can go back. We're not going to go to Numbers, but when they heard the report, when the 10 spies that were giving the evil report says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. And he says, look, we were grasshoppers. That's how big these guys were. And what does the nation of Israel do? What do they say? They say, forget it. We're not going there. The cause is not great enough. It is too big of a challenge. We cannot have victory. And we remember Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes and they cry out, we are well able. They're like David in this battle. We can do this. We can win this battle. We can face this giant. Do not be fearful. Do not let your lack of trust in God stop you from doing what he has enabled you to do, not just enabled you to do with the Promised Land, what he has promised you that you can do. And there is so many things in our Christian life today that God has promised us that we are able to do, but we are fearful of taking that next step of reconciliation or that next step to reclaim those promises that he's given us because we think it's just too hard and too big and it's not worth dealing with because we simply do not trust that God will take care of us. I mean, that's why those guys did it. I mean, there was promises that were given. They were going to be free of, their family was going to be free in Israel. They get to meet the king's, they get to marry the king's daughter, and they were going to get all these possessions and all these rewards and all those things. So it wasn't the fact that they were just letting everybody else do it. It's the fact that they were afraid of him. They were so afraid that when they saw this guy, they actually ran from him, even though he's down in the valley and they're up on the side of the mountain. So I want you to think about those who ran. I want you to think about David here, why he stayed. So it says the first thing, they who ran underneath David's willingness to take on the challenge, but think about why David stayed. Look what it says in verse 29. And David says, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Also look in verse number 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, if you go back and you look at what it says in verse number 26, it says, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So he's saying, who is this guy that would have the nerve to defy God and defy the armies of the living God? Who is this guy that's going to come out and mock our God, and we're just sitting here? But David says, as we looked at, and says in verse 29, is there not a cause? He said, I don't care how big that giant is. I don't care how big the obstacle is. There's a cause that's greater than that giant is. There's a cause that's worth fighting for. There's a cause that's worth dying for. There's a cause that I, as a young man, probably smaller than anybody else in the army at this point in time, am willing to go down and fight this guy because I see the importance of defeating that giant. But so often we are intimidated by the obstacle that's ahead of us or the sin that's been in our life for so long and so much that we miss this whole thing. We miss what God wants us to do because we're afraid. Or simply, it's just we don't trust in God. And why does David stay there? It's because he says, I'm not going to let someone defy my God. I know what God is trying to do. So why would he stay? So you ask, why would you want to take that next step? Why would you want to put yourself out there? Why would you want to trust God that way? Because there's a cause greater in this world than our lives. That's the cause of Christ. There's people all around us that are dying and going to hell that God's called us to go reach out to. And there is all around us families that need to be built and churches that need to be built and churches, families that we want our young people to live for God and love the Lord. And we want all these things and we want to see our church be successful in God's eyes. And we want to see our nation turn back to God and we want to see God get glory and we want to see all these things. But there's that giant that's standing in our way that's stopping our Christian growth. Are you facing your giant today? Or have you just said it's not worth it? Because I would tell you, it is worth it. There's no greater cause, no greater thing in your life that's willing to say, I can't move forward because that giant's too big. You can deal with it. You can have victory. Because the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. He's already won the battle for us. It's us just being faithful. Now, we would think those people that were on the promised land and they didn't go over and they spent the next 40 years all dying in the wilderness, they made a foolish mistake. They made a foolish mistake and they died in the wilderness instead of going to the promised land. We would all agree they were foolish. They should have trusted God because they didn't want to deal with their giants. It is a foolish mistake for us to just ignore the giant that's in front of us. Now, once again, your giant may, you say, well, it's just small. Your giant might be huge and you think there's no way out. Or yours might have been sitting there for so long that they become your friend and you don't mind fellowshipping with it because it's just part of who you are. But facing that giant, David was willing to stand because he saw the need. And I love that. Is there not a cause? I helped coach basketball a little bit a long time ago, and we used to make kids run. I remember playing basketball. I remember playing soccer. And I remember having to run miles upon miles upon miles. But there was a reason for it. What was that reason? There was a cause. You had to be in shape to be able to play sports. You had to be in shape to be able to want to win the game. There was a cause there. So I was willing to face all that adversity in order to be able to say, you know what? There's a purpose. There's a plan. There's a cause. You got to run those miles. You got to run those wind sprints. You got to do those sit-ups. You got to do those push-ups. You got to do all those things to be ready and to be prepared for the day that you're going to be ready to play. It's the same thing such a greater level in our own Christian life. We have people that are willing to be surrendered and work so hard for certain things, but they forget about the cause of Christ. And I think it's great that we have different things in our lives that we enjoy and that we do. But I remember as a kid running all those miles, and I remember the guys asking, hey, coach, why are we doing all these wind sprints? It's because there's a reason. There's a purpose behind it. And there's a reason why we need to face these giants. It's because we need to move forward. We need help in our Christian life, and we need to have victory today over this giant so tomorrow we can teach somebody else how to have victory. Let's look at the second thing. We see David's willingness to take on the challenge when nobody else was. You see David's confidence in his God. David's confidence in his God. Look what it says in verses 34 through 37. David is now speaking to Saul, who has heard that this young man wants to come out and fight the battle versus the giant. We'll start in verse number 33. David and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. I've used this part. You know, people that are afraid, they're not going to give you good advice. People that are afraid and not trusting God are not going to give you good advice. They're going to tell you the giant's too big. You need to be careful. 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and he smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now, David stayed because of the cause, but David had confidence because of God's presence. David knew that God was going to be with him. Saul says, the Lord be with thee. David already knew that. David had already had experiences with giants. Obviously, we might say Goliath was more intimidating than a lion or bear, but I don't know if that's really true. He had already fought some giants in his life, and he knew that God would help him then. And he says to Saul, hey, look, God's helped me there. God's going to help me here. Don't let your heart be faint because of the battle. Don't let your heart become faint because of how big it looks or how tough it looks. Have courage. And that's what David said. I have the courage to do this, not because of what I can do, because of what God has done for me before in the past. He's always been there. He's always taken care of me. That's why I can walk to this stage and see in this valley, because I know I'm not going alone. I know that God's going to be with me and that God's going to help me and that God's going to take care of me. Not only is his presence, it's God's power too that he has confidence in. Look what it says over here in verses 45 and 46. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Goliath has this huge armor, this huge spear, and David says, I got the name of the Lord. And guess what? He wins. And when you go to face the devil, when you go to face the sin that's there, he's got all these temptations. He's got all these reasons why you can't have victory. He's got all these reasons why you're going to fail. He can make the giant look as big as he wants. And what do you got? I got the word of the Lord. I got the promise that God has given me. I got the name of Jesus behind it. In Jesus' name, I can have victory here. And because God has power. And that's what he says in verse number 46. He says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. He's not saying, I'm such a good slingshot guy. I'm going to nail you right in the side of the head or right in the forehead. He doesn't say that. He says, God's going to give me the victory. The Lord will deliver thee in my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee. So what are you getting at? He is confident because of God's presence. He's confident because of God's power. And it's something that Saul didn't understand, because Saul says, here's some armor. Take your armor. And when Goliath comes out and he sees David there with, maybe he can see the slingshot, who knows? He's got a staff, and Goliath's looking at there. He says, you come out here with staves. He would have understood the armor. He would have understood dressing up some guy with this big sword, thinking that maybe he has a shot because he has armor on. Maybe he has a shot because he has a sword. Goliath would understand that. But you know who doesn't understand that? David. Because you know what? David's not fighting the battle himself. David's fighting the battle for the Lord, because the battle is the Lord and it's the Lord's power. So we're not looking for what the world says. Hey, that makes sense. We're looking for somebody that will get a hold of what God says and say, I can have victory, not because of what the world tells me I can have victory, but because God tells me I can have the victory. And no matter how big the obstacle is, no matter how big the problem is, no matter how big the rift is, or how much sin you're in, or no matter how bad the relationship is, you can have victory. You can fight that giant. If it's been there 10 years, 20 years, or just the last 40 days when it's been coming out and mocking you, you can have victory. You can have confidence in God. Why is it? Because he's promised us, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. He sees everything we're going through. And he says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His presence and his power says, I don't care how big that Goliath could have been 20 feet tall. It wouldn't have mattered. It could have been 10 Goliaths. It wouldn't have mattered. If God sent him, God was going to enable him. The courage and confidence. What is it that's standing in front of you that you don't want to take that next step? What is that sin you want to let go? That person you need to forgive? That step that God wants you to serve in? I don't know what it is. That thing that you know you should change, but it's just been there for so long. I can't do it. I can't do it. You're just like those people on the side of the mountain. I've been up there before. I've looked at it and said, God, I don't know how in the world I can have it fix this. So because of that, I fight. Because of that, I just sit on the mountain. Because of that, I just say, I hate this. I'm in bondage, but I don't know how to get out of the bondage. But he tells us how to. Last thing I want you to think about is David's conquest is not kept quiet. David's conquest is not kept quiet. Look what it says in verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God. And we love that phrase at the end because we want the whole world to know. I mean, that's what we want. That's God's desire, is not that he's not willing that any should perish yet. And we talked about this morning in Sunday school class, God puts something inside all of us to help us realize that there is a God. There is a God out there. And an atheist was not born that way. No matter whatever they tell you, God says in his word that he put something in there and they've ignored it. They didn't glorify him as God. They didn't thank him. So because of that, with their vain thoughts, they become foolish in their thinking. And for a person to say there is no such thing as God, the Bible says that they're a fool. And not just a fool. If you look at that word fool, I think it says like insane, crazy. Like some of us do foolish things, but for a person to think that there's no God, that's completely foolish, and that he wants all the world to know. So this victory he says, everyone's going to ever hear it. So how in the world is that ever going to happen? They still teach about David and Goliath today, don't they? Not just here. If it's a favorite one in America, it's probably one of the favorite ones over there in India and Africa. You know, so all the world may know that there is a God in Israel. That's exactly what happened that day. But look at the next verse. It doesn't just talk about the whole world that's never heard about the God. But look what it says in verse 47. And all this assembly. He's saying all the people that are present. Who's the people that are present? Yeah, there's the Philistines. They probably didn't even realize that there was a God in Israel that much. They're going to know that by the end of the day. But all this assembly, all them that has signed up to be army people for the nation of Israel, all of us that are up here on this side of the mountain looking, we're in the army of the Lord. He says, by defeating this giant, they're going to know how you're supposed to fight. And that's what he continues on. He says, what are they going to know? What are they going to see? What are they going to understand? And he says, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So what he's saying is, they're going to learn that it's not about their swords. It's not about what they can do. They're going to learn this is the way to fight God's way. If we have giants in our life and we leave the giants sitting there, those around us will just see, oh, that's something to struggle with. that's a giant they're not willing to deal with. But when you have victory and allow God to make a change in your life, there is a testimony that rings so loud and rings so clear. God is able, that God can give you victory. You have help, you have hope, and you can help show others how to have that same victory. But when you stay with that giant and allow that giant to slow you down your walk, instead of helping other people with their giants and their problems and being an encouragement and bringing more people to church and seeing more people saved and seeing more discipleship and seeing God work and move in other people's lives, we're still facing that giant. And we're looking at that giant. And we can't get anything else out of our heart or mind but that giant. We can still look like the army of the Lord up on the side of the mountain. We're dressed right. We look right. Saul's still wearing the crown. I mean, all those things, but we're not seeing victory. I don't know what it is in your life that might be that next step. And don't get me wrong, we talk about it easily, like it's something that's easy. But some of us have been stuck with something and been fighting a giant for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And we don't think there's any way we can have victory. We've just let him move in. Not only does he move in, he takes over. But remember why David stayed. The cause is worth it. Your kids are worth it. Your grandkids are worth it. If you don't have kids, church family's worth it. Those that look up to you around here. You say it's hard, it's tough. Nobody else is doing it. Yeah, nobody else was willing to do it. And nobody else made a difference. But there was one that said, I have enough confidence in God to take that next step. I believe he's promised me he's going to be with me. I know he has the power to do it. And I'm not going to let someone defy my God. The cause was too great. You say, well, there's nobody around here defying God. We could argue about that. It's all around the world today people are defying God. And all around the world today, we got believers today that are pushing aside the things that God wants for us, and we're saying, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. This is ahead of me. And I don't know about you, but how great would it be to have a victory this morning and just give it over to the Lord? How great would it be to say, I need to take that next step. I know what God wants me to do, and I want to have the confidence that David had. And with God's help, I'm going to leave it at the altar. I'm going to leave it at my seat. And I'm not going to do it anymore. And God's going to give me the victory. How amazing would that be today? But unless we're willing to have that confidence and say that the cause is great enough, it's just not going to happen. This morning, what is it that you're facing? I could tell you there's been different stages in my life, and there's different giants out there, different things I faced over the years, different temptations, different heartaches, and I know that God has given me victory at different times. Does that mean there's never ever going to be another giant? No, you read the story. David starts fighting another giant later on. One giant almost gets him one time. So it's going to be another giant afterwards. It's going to be another battle. But God's promised you, you can have victory. So you say, Pastor, you're talking about these giants. What are you talking about? Well, there's a couple things. Maybe it's fear. Fear and trusting the Lord. That's what it all boils down to. We all like to say we trust God, but if we won't take that next step, we just don't think God will take care of us. Maybe it's jealousy. Oh, pride. That's a big giant that needs to be cut off at the knees. Maybe it's your salvation. What do you mean by salvation? There's probably at least one, if not two people here today that would say, I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian. I cannot tell you of a day or a time when God convicted my heart that I was a sinner and in need of a Savior, and I responded by, in faith, turn to him. You can tell me all types of stories about experiences, but that God convicted my heart, showed me that I was a sinner, that I needed him. And I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. That's been a giant in my life for years. I need to get that settled. you know what? You can knock its head off today by just turning to God, putting your faith and trust. And I can guarantee you that there's many people here today that would be rejoicing if that happened. No one sitting there saying, well, what's he doing? Or what's she doing? You can knock off that giant's head today. I think it's kind of cool. You see David climbs up on Goliath or steps up to Goliath. And then he picks up his head and hangs it, holds it up, showing everybody across the whole crowd, hey, look what happened. Because they if they're up there, they might have saw that Goliath fell, but they, and he had the victory there. And how great would it be for you to proverbially, you know, hold some type of giant's head tonight, today, and say, God, I really need victory here. And I have the courage to make the decision. I'm going to walk by faith and take it out. Now, is it going to be easy? David still had to go down. He had to find the sling. He had to find this. He had to get a slingshot out. He had to get stones. He had to do it. But the amazing thing was, Goliath is walking. David is running. Today, there is a giant out there that's standing in your way. You might be sitting there thinking, well, maybe I should do something about it. That's not going to get it done. That's if God is speaking to your heart, you run towards the giant. You claim the promises of Jesus. You make a commitment today. You don't put it off and say, well, maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't. No, I need to get this right. God's working on my heart. Help me today to chop off that giant's head and take care of whatever it is so I can start living for him and I can start helping others have victory. Not just so that all the world know that there is a God, but that my church family and my family and those who know me know that he works in different ways than the rest of this world does. That he doesn't need a sword, he doesn't need a shield. He can just use me. Today, are you running from your giants? There's a whole mountain full of people that was. Take him out. You can do it today with God's help, because he's promised you he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Have victory this morning, unlike you've ever had before, or at least maybe for a while. Let's pray.